Joe and Sharon Goodman have represented Graham Church as missionaries for many years, longer than I've been here. You've been Graham's missionary. That's a long time. And I had the privilege of being with Joe and Sharon in Panama on two different occasions, and now they are based out of Florida, and it's our privilege to have Joe come and share with us this morning his ministry and God's Word.
Hey, good morning. I'd like to have Sharon just stand, and most of you, well, not most of you, but some of you know her. Sherry's a Perryite, and I grew up Perry, a Bath Road, on a farm, and went to Perry High School, graduated, Perry Baptist Church, so we're home for her. So anyway, great to be here this morning with you all, and I guess I've introduced who we are. So we were here about 2 years ago, and I think we've seen some of you since then. Good to see some of you again today we haven't seen for a while. You're welcome to visit us in Florida. I know some of you snowbirds here come down there, so we're just north of Orlando. Be happy to have you come over or meet for lunch or for coffee, so any of you ever make that trip down to the Orlando area, please let us know. Pastor Mike said that probably many of you are new and may not even know who we are, so I wanted to just do a little brief kind of a bio up here, bio update. We have been with New Tribes for about 39 years, and it's a long time. Time flies. God called us. We were in a youth pastor down in Jackson, and God called us into tribal missions to reach unreached tribal people with the gospel. We trained for about a year and a half with New Tribes and then went to Panama in January of 1980. And I believe we've been supported by Graham Church since 1989. And so that was a few years before Pastor Mike came. And it was following a big project that Perry Baptist sent to put a roof on our house in Panama. And there was a couple of people involved in that became a part of Graham Church, and so Graham began to support us, and you've partnered with us in the Kuna work. Back in 1989, there was not a church. There is now, and so we wanted to give you an update on the work among the Kuna because it's pretty exciting, but also just to kind of update you as to what we're doing right now in our ministry in Florida. Our present focus, we live in Sanford. We work out of the main headquarters. Sharon and I share an office. We see tons of people. We meet with people in our office. We take people out for meals. We have them in our home. Our ministry is coordinating member care. And so we do that there at the headquarters with the headquarters staff. And we also do it out of our home. And we've been doing this about for the last 7 or 8 years now. I work closely with a team of three different guys, and our purpose is to bring refreshment and care spiritually, emotionally, spiritually to our New Tribes missionaries. Our home that the Lord provided for us is about 2.5 miles from the main headquarters, and you may recall that when we moved down there in 2007, after being up back here in the Detroit area for a couple years, you may recall that I actually built that house. I did it with a lot of help. I was a general contractor, and I'm not a contractor, and I'm not a builder. But the Lord allowed us to get it built, so praise the Lord. Just a quick update here. This is our regional member care team, and I oversee, Sharon and I am the coordinator. We are together. We work in this ministry as partners. We've done it for years. But to give encouragement, we have like 12 couples that live throughout the U.S. in different regions, and they are responsible for providing care and encouragement to our overseas-based missionaries when they come on their home assignment. So we also have a lot of training activities that we do right there at the headquarters building, and we plan and coordinate that and participate in it. Also, one of our responsibilities is to recruit and evaluate, train new staff. My wife and I, we're going to be 65 this year. And so we're realizing that our member care staff, us included, is starting to get up into those upper age bracket. And so we're really interested in getting younger couples that can take on this ministry. And we also network with Fields. Katie is an example. Since she's been home, we've met with her. We've had conversations with her field leadership and on a couple different occasions. And we do that because that's our ministry. We want to see our members cared for, represented. Sometimes we advocate for members. And so we're excited about that. Of course, we're part of the HQ staff there in Sanford, so we do a lot of stuff. Meet with a lot of people just because of our proximity to a staff of about 200 people. Here's a couple we'd like to introduce you to, Joe and Jackie Bruce. I know Katie knows them. They live in Jackson. They're a regional member care reps. They are doing what Sharon and I used to do for several years up here before we moved to Florida. And they connect with the missionaries from New Tribes on home assignment as they're in this region. So they're very close to you. And that you have at least two New Tribes, three New Tribers out of this church, or more than that, actually. Yeah. Yes, you do. Joe and Jackie, they're a great couple. They serve in Venezuela. They're kind of representative of some of the younger ones that we'd like to get in this ministry. So they're close and they're available. Well, let's just get back to Panama. I wanted to give you an update and a reminder this morning what God has done and what he's continuing to do. You've invested in this people group, the Kuna people, since 1989, and you've done that through our ministry and through the ministry of Jerry and Joyce McDaniels. And I know they'd love to be here. But this morning, our prayer is that as a result of this update, that you can kind of share the same excitement and thanksgiving to the Lord that we feel for what he is doing and continues to do among the Kuna people. And before I get into this, I'd like to preface my comments this morning with just reviewing a story that is told in the Gospels. It's told in the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And because I believe it really puts this entire Kuna work into perspective. So Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 26. Now, you can follow along in your own Bibles or you can follow on the screen. I have it right here. It's a very familiar story. It's an encounter that Jesus has with a particular young man, a ruler. And I'd like to read this and make a couple of comments, and then I want to tie this into what God is doing among the Kuna people. Let's read it together. Or let's read it. I'll read it and you follow. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Well, why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I've kept since I was a boy." So here's a guy who was sure that he had it together spiritually. I believe in his worldview, he believed that people could be good enough to gain God's favor and gain eternal life. And I believe that he was one of these that felt like if you just know the system, if you just know what's required, if you do the right things, avoid the wrong things, that you'll be fine. And he figured that Jesus, this teacher, that he had obviously, he had powers or he had abilities that not everyone in his circle of friends had. And so he believed that Jesus somehow had figured out the system. And he's coming to Jesus because he wants him to affirm him. He wants that sense of affirmation, that approval, that his efforts, all that he's done since he was a boy, and all his good works were good enough for him to gain eternal life. You know, it's not a lot different, not a whole lot different than many people today, is it? Not at all. You know, maybe even some here this morning like that, trying to figure out what you can do to have it together with God. Certainly true among the Kuna people in their own religious system. Well, let's pick up in verse 21. Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." In other words, Jesus' message to this young man was, give it away, sell it, get rid of everything that you have, everything that you're trusting in, whatever it may be, and you know, throw yourself on God's mercy, and then come and follow me. Well, look at verse 22. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad, because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at Jesus' words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Well, the disciples were even more amazed, shocked, flabbergasted. And they said to each other, "Who then can be saved? Who then can be saved?" You know, this is exactly the same thing that Jerry and Joyce McDaniels and Joe and Sharon Goodman were saying after living in a Kuna village for a number of years. God, will these people ever be saved? Are these people so blinded by Satan that they will ever actually believe what we've come to tell them? God, this seems impossible. God, are we wasting our time? You know, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of God." The glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You know, with the Kuna people that we and the McDaniels ministered among, this little God, the little G, the God of this age, that was their spirit lords that ruled over them, blinding them to the light of the gospel. Spiritual blindness equals darkness, plain and simple. They were unable to see the light and the truth of God's word. You know, they had their own worldview, and that's all they could see. It was their reality. It was their light. And, of course, without going into a lot of background, I've probably shared some of this before, but, you know, they were animists. They were under spirit control. Good spirits versus evil spirits. You had to cooperate with the spirits in order to have a successful life. You had to learn how to trick and fool and manipulate these spirit beings to get what you wanted, to appease them when they seemed to be displeased with you, to negotiate when they were being a little bit on the stubborn side or obstinate. But the point is that blind people can't see. You can't make a blind person see. It requires a supernatural either healing physically of the eyes and a supernatural healing spiritually. New birth, that's what it's all about. Anyway, back to Mark 10. You know, we've read verses 17 to 26, but there's one more verse I want to read. It says, verse 26, "Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God.'" Impossible? Humanly speaking, absolutely. Who then can be saved? But God challenged us years ago that God is the God of the impossible. And So our focus had to be on him, had to be on not on ourselves, not on our agency, not on our methodologies, our techniques, our funding, our support base, any of that stuff, but on God himself. His almighty power at work to actually change a people that, in our point of view, are unchangeable. It's impossible. Up to him to supernaturally restore sight to the spiritually blind. Anyway, today I want to tell you about the Kuna Bible dedication. The entire Word of God in the Kuna language. What a milestone, what an accomplishment, what a blessing to see this people group have the Word of God in their language. God is doing the impossible. and he's using people to do it, but God is using his Word to break down many of Satan's manipulative strongholds and his lies, and to expose his lies as they read the truth of God's Word and God's Spirit begins to apply that to them. Jeremiah 23, verse 29 says, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" What a challenge that verse has been to me. God Almighty breaking down the strongholds of Satan, like a mighty sledgehammer, just breaking it to pieces, and he's used his word, and he still is. Just very quickly here, I just scanned it so you can see it. We were able to be at this dedication back about a year and a half ago. Do you realize that this Bible is, there's about 7,000 languages in the world, all right? This is number 531 of all the languages that have the complete Word of God in their language. And this is a little people group of around, maybe somewhat around 100,000, maybe even less than that. They have the Word of God in their own language. It says, "Pop tuma karta isli dikit." That means the Great Father's letter, pure and straight and holy. We would call it the Holy Bible, but that's how the Kunas say it. There's a number of color pictures and line drawings in this. They got permission from Ken Taylor's Favorite Bible Stories to include all that. Several hundred line drawings from David C. Cook. I know you probably want me to read something from it. Yes, thank you. Can anybody quote 2 Timothy 2:15? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now that's King James. That's how I learned it. So that's what always comes into my mind. But let me read this for you out of the Kuna Bible. All right. And you know something? I didn't bring my glasses, so I'm going to read it off my screen here. It says this. It says, and I'm going to show it to you so you can follow along with me. I'm going to read it slow, so just try to follow it. It says, "Pe arbaitki katik nue arbainai pesai, adi pe nuit arbasatpa pap tumad yer pe dakegar." Are you with me? "Pe pap tumad gaya burban napirguat, nuit tulimarga odulo kedba pe arbaitki pe pinke guguichi guosulit." Basically, that says, study to show yourselves proven to God. It's a little bit different word order, but this is a dynamic translation. It's not word for word, but that's the message of this translation. There were three Bible translations here, and I'm going to have to put the pedal to the metal here. There were three dedications. There was two of them on one of the San Blas Islands. See where those two little stars dropped in there? two islands, and those were hard to get to. They were smaller communities, basically the Kunas in that area. I mean, there's a lot of people there. But then there was a large dedication out of the city. But here's just a couple of quick slides. This was on Mulatupo, which is called Buzzard Island. Strong Church is out there now, and it wasn't always that way. Back when we first went to Mortee, there was a group of believers out there, but they were like an inch deep and about a mile wide. But God's done some pretty amazing things here. Unloading the Bibles. This is a young man in the middle. This couple, I'll tell you more about them in a minute, but this is Chad Mankins. Do you remember that name, Mankins? Chad's dad was working with the Kuna people down near Columbia in 1993 when he and two other of our missionaries were kidnapped and murdered. And never were found. Their remains were never found. They were taken by Colombian guerrillas into Columbia somewhere, and we never found them. Chad is a missionary with New Tribes in Papua New Guinea, and he is in a church planting up way up into the mountains in a helicopter region, and someone paid his way to be at this dedication because this is what his dad gave his life for to see accomplished. Pretty amazing. The city dedication was held in a huge 4,000-seat auditorium, Panama City, largest church in Panama. And I will fill this house with glory, llenaré de gloria esta casa. That's what it said. It was in Spanish. And that passage is from Haggai 2:7. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord God Almighty. And you know, that's exactly what's happening. The desired of the Kuna, the desired of the nations are coming to Christ. Kuna men and women, boys and girls, young and old, coming into a relationship with the God of the universe. And in their language, that's Bap Tumat. Coming into a true relationship with the God of the universe through the atoning sacrifice, understanding and believing the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. This is that couple that was with Chad Mankins, and what a precious couple this is, servants of God. When about 15 years ago, this young couple with two little kids moved into the village of Pucuro, in down by the Colombian border, where the missionaries that were murdered had lived and vacated, and they said, "We want to take up where the missionaries have left off," and they faithfully served there for about 15 years, and don't have time to get into their story, but here's another young couple. Both of these young people were born while Sharon and I were in the village of Mortee. We were there. and now they're missionaries to their own people. Pretty amazing. Another young couple here on the left, and that's their daughter-in-law on the right. Faithful believers, Rupentino and Griselda. And they were all at this. They come out of the jungle for this dedication in the city. And she's a leader among the women. One more here. This is, if you can see, a group of us that were at the dedication for Mortee. Jerry and Joyce in the back there next to Sharon and I, and with some of our friends from Mortee. Finally, this young man is Teobaldo Martinez. Teobaldo, when we first went there, he would sit bare naked on the path every morning as we'd go out, just a little kid about 2 years old. And he was one of the first children to trust Christ. And he went on, finished his schooling. And when he came back, it was when the Old Testament translation was starting. And he first was picked as a helper, kind of doing back translation. But then he actually became a translator and was one of their best, most faithful translators throughout the process. So this final slide here is a short video clip. It was filmed by someone who was at the dedication, and they kind of compile it together. It just kind of shows you visually. I hope that you'll be blessed as you watch this, as I have been blessed every time. I was there, and every time I've been able to see it. It was actually posted on YouTube, so you can probably find it there. So. the Bible, a complete Bible in the full length. I stand in awe of you. This is in Spanish, not Greek. Holy God, to whom all praise is due. Stand in awe of you. To God be the glory. You know, I just want to thank this church for the vital part you've had in the Kuna story over the years, and through our ministry, through McDaniel's ministry. You know, our prayer is that this church will continue to be a missions church, a mission sending church. And I know Mike indicated that this morning. That's your heart. And you know, there are still so many unreached people groups around the world. It's changing. It's not just South America. It's not just Africa, Asia. But opportunities to get into countries that have been traditionally closed to missions. And they're unreached. And they are people that need the gospel. They need the Lord. And they may not be living in jungle huts. They may even be in cities. But they are blinded by the God of this age. And our prayer is that you'll continue to send forth people into the harvest fields of the world. There's no thrill like seeing people come to know Jesus Christ for the first time. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to challenge our hearts with your work around the world. The desire of your great heart, Father, is that people, men, women, and boys and girls, come to a saving understanding and saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing with Acuna. Thank you for your word that is now in their language, the complete word of God. And God, we just are believing that you're going to raise up many, many strong believers in these days. And we give you the praise. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for Katie, for what she's doing. We ask your guidance on her in every way. In Christ's name, amen.